Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for.
Hello, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast. We were having a little difficulty there with our intro, but anyway, welcome and thank you for tuning in today. And so this is playoff weekend, isn't it, in the NFL. So it'll be interesting, won't it, to see who goes to the playoffs, because everything's up in the air right now. But it's also been an interesting week as far as the Wolves are. They're always making news, though, aren't they, these Wolves? They call themselves Christians, and they call themselves evangelists. And this is the one, as of late, they really like to call themselves doctor. They call themselves reverend. They call themselves prophet. But most of them are false prophets. And most of them are false brethren. So here at the Prophetic News, we like to say that how can you recognize a false prophet? And how do you recognize a false teacher? How do you recognize a false Christian? And one of the biggest ways to recognize these people is, how do they handle their money? Now, if your pastor or if your favorite preacher is a scam artist, then you know that most likely they're probably not saved or they're backslidden, because my friends, they don't scam me. They wouldn't be my friends if they started scamming me. So they shouldn't be your friends either. Amen? We should take a stand. And, of course, we know that we will always have these people among us as long as we're on the earth. But we would like to see more people come out of these false churches and stop supporting these false ministries. Now, a friend of mine in Dallas took some pictures for me, thankfully, and I still need some pictures from the Orlando area. So if I have any listeners that live near Orlando and you would like to take some pictures for me of some of the heretic hotspots there, and there are many, I would like to use these pictures for my book, because I know there's pictures on the internet and some of them are in the public domain, so you can use them without infringing on anyone's copyright. But I would like to have my own pictures so that I wouldn't have to worry about anyone saying that I use their picture in my book. And I'm trying to put a lot of pictures in the book so people can see. For instance, now my friend took some pictures of Mike Murdoch's building there in Dallas. Now, I had never seen it. And, you know, he has a place called the Wisdom Center, but we're going to call it the Unwisdom Center or the No Wisdom Center. Amen? That's what we're going to nickname it. And then he also took a picture for me of the Daystar television studios, which is owned and operated by the infamous adulterer Marcus Lamb and his wife Joni, who occasionally takes her frying pan to Marcus to keep him in line. We'll be doing some more programs about Marcus and Joni. Marcus Lamb was running a so-called Christian television network there in Dallas. And a few years ago, now this happened a few years ago, but for 7 years behind his wife's back, right there in the office, he was having an affair with someone that worked there. Now imagine that. So you see, that's another thing that happens to these people when they try to con their way into your heart, and they lie about Jesus. Number one, they lie about Jesus. So there's usually adultery mixed in, or homosexuality. They usually, if they have no conscience about lying about Jesus, then they have no conscience at all, because we believe, as believers, and all of us that have been born again, we know the price Jesus Christ paid for us when he gave his life. We also know what he means to us, how he took us out of the pig pen that we were in. Remember, before we knew Christ, what kind of a life we had, a messed up, stupid life, and then Jesus Christ changes our life, and we are forever grateful to him. So how could a born-again, spirit-filled person lie about Jesus? So that doesn't mix. So you know that if you're in a church and your pastor lies about the offering, he lies about tithing, he won't tell you the truth, and so expect anything to happen there. Expect anything to happen, because if you're going to go to a church or you're going to go to a Bible study, you want to make sure that you're being told the truth. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. You might as well stay at home and read your Bible for yourself, because we don't need any more false teachers. We don't need any more messed up people. You can watch television, and you look at these networks that call themselves Christian, and these buildings are full of thousands of people. Thousands of people go to these, millions of people go to these buildings every Sunday. And you'll see, when I play this clip from R.A. Vernon, and he's telling the people in his church to say F you to each other, smack somebody. First of all, I'm not going to church to be smacked, okay? No, I don't want anybody smacking me. No, I don't want you smacking me. I don't want you hugging me so tight that I can't breathe. That's another one they tell you. No, I don't want somebody else's husband or some guy coming up to me and hugging me so tight I can't breathe in church. No, that's not why I'm going to church, okay? So, they make you do all these stupid things, and then they say, like, you're sitting there, and they treat you like an idiot. This is another thing that you'll notice that they like to do, and you know that they're treating you like an idiot when they say this to you. Are you listening? No, I'm not listening. I'm here. I have ears. I'm not deaf. I came to this building, so I'm sitting here. And they say, are you listening? I'm like, oh, please. No, stop. Just stop. Because all these techniques are techniques of manipulation. They're techniques of manipulation. Some of them are techniques for hypnosis. And if you're going somewhere and they just treat you like you're stupid, and they tell you to stand up and turn around five times and jump up and down, and then they start playing the music real loud, and then everybody starts doing the pony hop, you know, and then they start falling on the floor, and then they get you all excited, and then they tell you, sit down. I don't know how people take it. I really don't. But, you know, these guys and these women, they know exactly what they're doing. They know that they've got these crowds in the palm of their hand, and they know that they can just suggest anything to these people. As you'll hear, I'm going to play a clip from Rod Parsley from Sunday. And he's telling his musician to play the chord C. And then when he plays the chord C, he tells the people, as he gets them right in the palm of his hand, that this is the sustainer chord, and God's going to give you all these things this year. And then, of course, the crowd goes crazy, and they all start doing the pony dance. And, you know, he lets them go crazy for a few minutes, and then he says, sit down. I don't know. We're supposed to be... Doesn't the Bible say that when we're born again, we get a sound mind? Like, I wonder, what's wrong with these people? Don't they have a sound mind? It doesn't look like it. It looks like all these years that we've had supposed Christian television, and it's not. There, I don't know of one network that's really preaching the gospel. Occasionally, you might hear a few scriptures, and yes, I mean, people can still get saved watching some of these networks. Yeah, they could. But you don't hear real truth. Most of it is always geared around the offering because they can't offend anybody. I even heard Dodie Osteen, Joel Osteen's mother, say at one time, she said, no, we don't tell anybody about hell over here. We want everybody to come here and feel good. We can't make anybody feel bad. Well, they're going to feel real bad. They're going to feel a lot worse if they die and go there. So this is the kind of situation we have today. It's just like, how about this story about all these women that were raped all over Europe on New Year's Eve, and they covered it up. They didn't even make it a big story, and they were trying to cover up the fact of who was doing this. Apparently some Muslim extremist groups were doing it. And so there's all these cover-ups politically, but there's also all these cover-ups going on in the so-called church. And we're going to call it the so-called church because it's not the church. The real church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a church full of people that love God. We have integrity. We treat people with respect. We treat people with love. We treat people honestly. We don't deceive people. We don't con people. We don't extort people. We don't do things like that. We're supposed to be different, aren't we? We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, and we're supposed to be the light in a dark place, not what we're seeing portrayed. So I like to see more people out there having internet ministries, doing some kind of website, radio program you can do on Blog Talk Radio. Anybody can have a program on Blog Talk Radio. And you can have a 15-minute program for free. So you can get on and you can just start talking. And God will provide the listeners. You can get on YouTube for free and preach the gospel. And you don't have to have a $10 million jet. Like, you know, Jesse and Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland, they have to have... I think Kenneth has something like a $10 million jet or a $20 million jet, and I think Gloria has her own jet. Kenneth Copeland actually has his own airport. Now, imagine that. Now, it's very expensive to have an airport. Your own airport? He's got his own hangars. He's a pilot himself. I'm sure he has other pilots. And I don't care if Kenneth Copeland, how many planes Kenneth Copeland has, But just don't use my Jesus to get your planes and then lie about my Jesus and say that my Jesus went to hell and my Jesus was a little wormy Jesus that, you know, Satan was stomping on him, which you're going to hear on an audio clip that I'm going to play. I don't want, now don't tell me about Jesus, Kenneth Copeland, okay? Don't use my Jesus to get jet airplanes. And then to say that you're going, you have to have these airplanes to go and preach. When you're not even preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're preaching another gospel. And you'll hear Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis say that. And every time I hear this, it's so ironic and it's so idiotic that you hear these two men that proclaim that they have to, they're in the ministry, okay, and they have an anointing. They have to protect their anointing, so they can't mingle with you average folk. Do you notice that probably if you ever go to a Kenneth Copeland meeting, you probably can't walk up to them and say hello? I remember walking into a room back in the early 1990s. It was a small room. It just maybe 30 or 50 people in the room. And there was Mike Murdoch sitting at the piano. And I walk in the room and I say hello to him. Like, okay, hello. He's supposed to be a brother in the Lord. Hi. He doesn't answer me. He doesn't even smile at me. He just smirks at me. I'm like, oh boy, something wrong with this guy. No, we can't say hello. They can't say hello to us average folk. And they have bodyguards. And so, excuse me, but what kind of a ministry is that? Like, you're supposed to, you need this jet to go minister to people, and then you can't be on an airplane and talk to God. I didn't know that you had to always talk to God out loud. So, and you'll hear Kenneth and Jesse talking like this. I've got the audio, and it's available. You can get it on YouTube. Kenneth Copeland, I think, and Jesse Duplantis discuss their jets or something like that, or demons in a tube. Like, it's all over. There's so many people that have picked up the story. And they say, well, when we're on a, if we were a flying commercial, if God wanted to talk to us, we couldn't talk back to him out loud on a plane because people would think we were crazy. Well, I didn't know that you had to talk out loud to God. I didn't know that that was 100% necessary because he's not talking out loud to you. So, but they have to have their own jet so that they could protect their anointing, and then they can't go on an airplane because there's demons in that tube. They're going to be in a tube with demons, they said. Oh, excuse me. Wow. I guess Kenneth Copeland never leaves his house. He probably never goes to Winn-Dixie or anything like that, right? Probably never goes over to Dunkin' Donuts. There's some demons over there. Wow, I guess Kenneth Copeland never leaves his, what is it, an 8,000 or 10,000 square foot mansion, this huge house he lives in. I guess he doesn't ever leave that house because there's demons everywhere. Wow, Kenneth. I guess he never goes to church, that church he's got over there. What's it called, the Eagle something? Because there's demons over there. But these guys, they give themselves away. So, but here's the thing. It's kind of like this psychological doublespeak because it goes, they say one thing, but yet they want you to believe another thing. The words are coming right out of their mouth that they can't sit on a regular airliner because there's demons on that tube. But yet they're flying all over the place because they're going to minister. They're going to minister. So, the bell should go off in people's heads and say, now, wait a minute, they won't talk to us average folk over here, but they'll fly all over because they know that when they get to these meetings that they're going to, first of all, they have to pay. They don't go there for free, okay? They have contracts when they go places. They don't go for a love offering. No, they don't do that. No. I was first introduced to the ministerial contract back in the 1980s. I was trying to raise money to buy a television station, and I wanted to invite Phil Driscoll. Okay, remember Phil Driscoll was all the rage, the guy that plays the trumpet. So I wanted to invite Phil Driscoll to help me do a fundraiser for my network to raise the money to buy the television license, which was $25,000. What a bargain, right? And it also included a tower, and it was in Colorado, in Aspen, Colorado. And so I contacted Phil Driscoll's office, and I'm thinking, wow, I would love Phil to come and help me raise some money. Because I know he's interested in preaching the gospel, and he's interested in saving souls. So I'm sure that, and I'm thinking this in my head, okay, I'm thinking, I know he's probably interested in coming so that I can get this network off the ground and I can preach the gospel and souls will be saved here in Colorado. And so I'm all excited, and I'm a new Christian. I'm only 5 years old, maybe, in the Lord, so I'm naive, okay? And so I called Phil Driscoll, and they said, okay, we'll send you out a contract. So I get this contract, and he wanted $7,000 just to come for him. And then you had to pay, because he had a plane, so he had to pay for the fuel, I think. And so then there was also other demands, like the hotel and what kind of food he liked to eat and all that. So I was shocked. My little, I guess like Cinderella mind, you know, was going, oh, wow, I thought he wanted to come and help me raise money for my television network, and I thought he wanted souls to get saved. But anyway, that was my first introduction into the, what's the right word, like the Hollywood kind of ministry. And it's not really ministry, it's a business. So, yeah, that was my first, one of my first introductions into what was really going on behind the scenes. It wasn't really all about preaching the gospel and going in faith. If you were invited somewhere, you didn't put any demands on people. You just went. You accepted the invitation, and you went. And if they gave you an offering, fine. If they didn't give you an offering, that was fine, too. You left it up to them to make up their mind what they were going to do. And but these professional preachers don't do that. It's all about the money. So when Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis go anywhere, you must make sure, first of all, you have to pay for that fuel, that jet fuel, which is very expensive. Very expensive. So that's the first thing you have to pay for. Then you have to make sure he gets a nice honorarium. And you can hear the interview that was done by Church Folk Revolution with, I think it's Jason Morales or Jacob Morales that used to work for Ron Luce. What's the name of that ministry? It's the youth ministry. Can't think of it right now. But anyway, when T.D. Jakes was invited, his fee, now sit down. I hope you're sitting down, because most of us don't make this kind of money in years. T.D. Jakes, you had to give him $100,000 honorarium. That was only his honorarium. That didn't include his presidential suite, which you had to give him in the hotel. That didn't include his jet fuel. That didn't include all the other little perks that you had to give this prima donna. Now, that's a pretty good way to earn a living, huh? I mean, come on, $100,000, and he only preached for 55 minutes. Who makes $100,000 in 55 minutes? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good gig if you can get it, right? So that's why these guys, like last week when I was telling you about Jerry Scholes, and that would probably be a great book to read. I have to get it myself. Give me that Primetime Religion. And it's an expose that Jerry Scholes did in 1979 of the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association, which he worked for. And he was beat up for writing that book. And I said, well, I wonder who beat him up. Who beat him up? But somebody beat him up. And I would love to find Jerry Scholes and talk to him. But that was back in 1979. The book is out there. I saw it. It's available on Amazon. And his name is Scholes, Jerry Scholes. But and then there was supposed to be a 60 Minutes interview with him. I don't know if that ever went off. I still have to do some more research about that. But so, I mean, these guys, even with the situation at TBN, and we'll be doing more programs about that in the future, about the lawsuits that were brought against TBN, and there have been many. They spend $5 million a year or more just on their attorneys, and their grandchildren have filed lawsuits, especially the youngest grandchild from Paul Crouch Jr., Kara. She was raped by, I think when she was 14 or something, by one of the employees there, and they covered it up. Even her own father, Paul Crouch Jr., covered it up, and there is a court case pending there, so which TBN has tried to fight. And so when you think of it, when you're talking about multiple millions of dollars, and they just have to spend a minute amount to try to shut people up, which they have been known to do, but it's not so easy for them to do anymore because we have the internet, and we do have quite a large group of people that are out there on the internet with apologetics ministries and discernment ministries, and they keep you abreast of what's going on. So it's good to look at the news and to follow the trends and to see who's doing what, because there's many wonderful ministries out there that have done tremendous research, hours upon hours upon hours of research into some of the background and some of the inner workings of what goes on behind the scenes. But we need to know these things because we don't want to be deceived. And we know, the Bible says to know those who labor among you. And we want to be able to recognize what's true and recognize what's false so that we're not deceived later on. And we don't deceive others. That's one of the saddest things, I think, when I look at these people and I look at their lives. And I think, here they are, and they stand up there, and they've got an open Bible, and they can quote the Bible. Most of them know scriptures. And they can even quote them by memory. And yet they don't believe a word they're saying. They have no love for the people that are sitting there listening to them. They have no concern about their eternal destiny. Neither do they have a concern about their own eternal destiny. Now, imagine somebody having this man, Jerry Scholes, beat up because he writes a book, an expose, about the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association. Imagine TBN suing their own grandchildren to hush them up. But why are they afraid? Why was Oral Roberts afraid of Jerry Scholes? Why is TBN afraid of their grandchildren? Why aren't they afraid of God? God sees everything they're doing, yet they have no fear of God. They operate in the flesh, and they try to hurt people. we don't try to hurt people here. We hope and pray that some of these people will repent before it's too late, because hell is real. And people do go there. There is a devil and there is a hell. And it doesn't matter. That's why, didn't Jesus say it? And doesn't he know everything? Didn't he say that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And didn't he say, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? So you can't take that jet plane with you when you die. You can't take that mansion with you when you die. You can't take those gold coins with you when you die. You don't take anything with you when you die. The only thing you take is, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? That's what you, that's the choice you have. That's the choice you have. So we don't want to wind up on the gospel junk heap like most of the people have. They sold out because they like money more than they care about anything, more than they care about their children and their grandchildren, and more than they even care about themselves. So who cares? I think it was David, wasn't it? He said he'd rather be a doorkeeper and have his integrity than to be like the rest of the people, the people with no integrity and the people that don't live an honest, upright life before the Lord. It's better to have little. It's better to have little and to have your integrity than to wind up like the people we see out there, which have brought a reproach and disgraced the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or tried to disgrace, because they can't really, but they've tried to disgrace the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by their behavior. Any of us can do things, and we can sin, and even some people have backslidden, and God said he's married to the backslider, he takes you back. But most of those people keep a repentant heart. You can, if you repent and you're truly sorry, and God takes you back and he restores you. But these people, they won't even repent. They won't even repent. They get mad at people that tell them the truth. They want to sue them and they want to ruin them. It's just despicable, really. Horrible. Horrible. But we hope and we pray, we want to see a change. And we want to see a strong church, a victorious church. And we want to see the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ be a church with people that really love each other and really care about each other, and we don't just do things for each other because we want something, like the gospel they preach. But anyway, let me get to a couple of these clips. So I thought about naming this episode Kenneth Copeland. Remember that? I didn't look at this movie because I don't like snakes. But they had that movie called Snakes on a Plane. So I was actually going to name this episode Kenneth Copeland, Snakes on a Plane, because him and Jesse don't want to go on a plane and sit with those people there, those demons in the tube. So I'm going to play that clip for you now.
As I was going home, the Lord, real quickly, he said, Jesse, do you like your plane? Now, you know, I thought that's an odd statement. I said, well, certainly, Lord. He said, do you really like it? And I thought, well, yes, Lord. He said, then he said this, So that's it. I didn't know how to handle that. But I went, what? He said, you're going to let your faith stagnate? Now, when he said that, that shocked me. I went, whoa, wait. I said, Lord, I don't think I was letting my faith stagnate. He said, so this is all I could ever do. I said, you're trying to tell me something.
May I interrupt you there for a second?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have done that on an airliner.
No, sir. No way.
Stand up and say, what'd you say, Lord?
No.
Okay, no, yeah. And the guy sitting over there saying, what the hell does he think he's doing?
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
No, no. This is so important. And those of you that are just now coming into these things, Jesse and I and others, Keith Moore and Creflo and all of us, the world is in such a shape, we can't get there without this.
That's right.
We've got to have this. We would have the mess that the airlines are in today, I would have to stop. I'm being very conservative. At least 75 to 80, more like 90% of what we're doing, because you can't get there from here.
It's impossible.
That's why we're on that airplane. We can talk to God.
Glory
we
to God.
Can, we,
it's true.
It's when I was flying for Oral Roberts, Brother DeWeese, my boss on the airplane, he said, now, Kenneth, this is sanctuary. It protects the anointing had become famous, and they wanted him to pray for him and all that. You can't. You can't manage that today.
Right.
This dope-filled world.
Right.
And get in a long tube with a bunch of demons.
Right. That's exactly the
thing. It's deadly.
And it works on your heart. It really does.
So.
You know, I mean, come on. Oh, dear. Now, you get with all that dope out there, and then you got to get on that tube with a bunch of demons. Oh, no. No. Kenneth and Jesse can't do that. No. Now, that is classic. That is classic. Please, pass that. Get a hold of that clip and pass it around, because that is classic. No, he can't. And, you know, he can't. You can't talk to God on a commercial liner. No. Okay. Well, no, I don't think anybody really likes to get on airplanes today. It's true. Who really likes it? Who really likes going to the airport and taking your shoes off and taking your belt off and somebody patting you down and you sit like a sardine in there? So, I can understand. No, it's not comfortable. But these guys are far out. You know, really, they're so far out. What are they smoking? Are they smoking something or snorting something? I don't know, because I didn't know that if I'm on a commercial airliner that I can't talk to God. It's just like people that tell you can't pray in school. Ooh, you know, you can't pray in school. Who's going to stop you from praying? Who? I didn't know that they arrested people for praying. If you're walking down the hall at school and you're praying, I didn't know that somebody was going to come and put the cuffs on you. You know, I just didn't know that. I didn't know that if you were sitting there in the cafeteria during lunch and you bowed your head and you prayed, I didn't know that somebody was coming up to you and arresting you. So you hear these things and, you know, people get these ideas in their head, like them saying that they can't, they have a very special anointing, but this kind of special anointing that they have is you can't mix with the masses. We don't mix with the lower class. Now, we can't mix with that group over there, those dope fiends and those kind of people. No, because we must fly around on our Lear jets and on our $20 million jets, so that we can protect our anointing and go on to the next $50,000 a night meeting. Yeah. So, Kenneth and Jesse, you've been weighed and found wanting, Kenneth and Jesse. I don't know. He's been spending too much time with Pope Francis over there. So he's been learning more and more of the ropes because, talk about the ultimate deceivers and building their whole empire on the selling of indulgences, which is time out of purgatory, and then selling masses for the dead and the whole thing that they do. So Kenneth recently visited with Pope Francis, and so I guess when he saw the Vatican and he saw I think the Pope has like a 1,000-room palace there that's walled. No, he's got a wall around his palace. And he's not selling it, to give it to the poor. And I think especially after Kenneth went there and he saw all those riches, I think it even made him greedier because it sounds like it from this video. So, I was watching because, of course, we know that Rod Parsley has throat cancer, and he's been AWOL now for almost a year. I would say almost a year, maybe not quite a year, from his World Harvest Church there in Columbus, Ohio. And if you notice there at World Harvest, if you ever look at their services, and they do broadcast on the internet, and I do go over there and check it out at times just to see what the wolf is doing. And someone brought it to my attention that there was a black curtain hanging in the back of this huge sanctuary. It's huge. And I've actually been to the building. I haven't been inside for a service, but it's a huge complex. And there is now a big black curtain that hangs in the back because they don't fill the place anymore. So they block that section off so you can't see all those empty seats. And anyway, so Rod Parsley had throat cancer, had 28 radiation treatments, and he's blaming the devil for trying to shut him up. But he keeps claiming, every week or two, he keeps claiming that he's coming back. Like, for instance, he was supposed to be there Wednesday night, but he never showed up. Now, this is another ironic thing that's going on there, which I find very interesting, is that they want people to come to church on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and they had a Sunday night service, so they want people to come there. And yet, when you look in the audience now, for instance, Miss Joni Parsley, Rod's wife, I think she's only been there maybe once or twice in the last 6 weeks. You don't see her. Her you don't see. No. And the last time she was there, and she was up on the platform and Rod went running up there to give her a hug. She didn't hug him back. She just stood there with her arms down flat. There's something going on over there. So I want to know, like, why doesn't your wife show up and sit next to you when you're there? And why isn't she with you since your whole kingdom is falling apart? Even the daughter's not there. She hasn't even been showing up that much. But yet they want everybody else to show up, but they won't show up. So what's going on with Rod Parsley? Is he healed or isn't he healed? Because he's hardly ever there. Even if he's having trouble with his throat, he could come in and sit and at least show people that he's around and he's still standing up. But most of the time, he doesn't even do that. So anyway, he did show up Sunday, and to the shock and awe of everyone sitting in the congregation that morning, he announced without any warning to the people that he was canceling their Sunday night services. Now, this is Sunday morning, and they do get a fairly good crowd on Sunday night. So he tells everybody that he's canceling his Sunday night service. From now on, occasionally they will have a guest speaker, and they would still be doing their camp meetings or whatever. But that was the end of Sunday night services. And he, the reason he said he was doing it, which was a big fat lie, he said that he was, they're very interested in evangelism, which he needs to get saved himself, so he should start there. And he wants his souls to get saved, and he wants the people in the congregation to go to Chuck E. Cheese. You want to go to Chuck E. Cheese on Sunday night, and then, or go bowling, or they can go to the gun range. There's various things they can do now on Sunday night, and they can have fellowship, and they can, I think he said they can double or triple the size of the church in a year. This way, when they're out in the community, which, I mean, they're out in the community every day because they're only at church a few hours a week, but the rest of the time they're out in the community, and they didn't double anything. In fact, they're losing people over the past few years. But this is what he's telling the people is, now, we don't need a Sunday night service anymore because we're going to go out and evangelize, and we're going to go eat pizza, and we're going to shoot guns, and we're going to go bowling. there's something wrong there, right? Is there something wrong there then? Now, if you were going to church on Sunday, say you were going to a church, and you had been going to a church for many, many years, and all of a sudden your pastor, the head pastor of the church is not showing up. For almost a year, he showed up very little. His family doesn't show up. His wife and his two children don't show up even. Rarely they show up. Now, wouldn't you wonder what was going on over here, since you're probably paying the pastor a very good salary? You're probably paying the pastor's wife a very good salary. The daughter, I'm sure, is getting a very, very good salary. They probably pay the son a salary. The mother probably gets a salary. Ma Barker, as my friend the Wolf Trucker refers to her. Don't you think they should show up for work? What is it to sit? To come over to get dressed, drive in your luxury car, and after your maid cooked your breakfast, and then you come over and you get dressed up in your finest clothes, and then you sit down in a pew for an hour. What does it take to do that? But no, they're not doing it. They're not doing it. No. Now Rod wants you to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. Here's Rod.
Families that are going to Eastern Lane, step forward. Oh, the McKees right here. The McKees will be there. The Wick. Woo-hoo, the Wick. Chad and Manny Williams. And Pastor Manny, who is on vacation, will be back, and he will be doing some bowling, and you can watch him. I hear he's a good bowler.
Yeah, I think he is a good bowler.
I'm setting the bar high. So we will be at Eastern Lanes. This is the one over on Refugee Road, meeting at 7 p.m.
In our next place, we will be going to Chuck E. Cheese. The Chuck E. Cheese that's right over here off of Hamilton Road near Eastland Mall. Those families that will be there tonight are, let's see, we have, of course, the Bassets, Brian and Jim Bass. They will be there with their kids. And we have the Elliots. They will be there. And we have Becca and her lovely husband, Eddie, and their kids. They will be there at Chuck E. Cheese right down the street.
And this is so cool, Pastor, because every week, it's not going to be just these groups. We just wanted to put a face on the first night we're doing this. So when you go downtown, you're like, who do I look for? You're going to know who to find there. But every week, it's something different.
In 4 or 5 weeks, there'll be 20, 30 events going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be 5 people. It may be 2 couples. And somebody's going to bring a friend with them. It may be 30 people, just whatever develops. And every week there's something new. And you can choose events yourself. And you can post them on the website. And when you go to the website, like for tonight, all of these events are listed there. What time, how to get there, directions. You just click on it, whether there's a cost or not, who might be going. It's all on there. But you're going to take that over yourself, and we'll show you how. Maybe you want to go golfing. What do you like to do there, buddy?
Yeah.
Yes. You
bowl
like
or bowl. Ethan Lane.
So maybe you bowl, and maybe you want to start a foursome on Sunday afternoon somewhere. Wonderful. Just fellowship and invite other people to hang out with you. And that's the way this thing is going to go.
And the website is live, Pastor.
Yeah,
yes,
when
you go to the website right now,
yes,
whc.plus. That is whc.plus. And I
like,
went to that website on my phone.
Though,
it's mobile friendly.
Plus.
It's mobile friendly. You can go right there. And
you
can
do
see
it right on your cell phone.
Where we're going.
Oh, there it is. Look.
You can see where we're going, who's going to be there. There's directions.
Oh.
There's the website. All the information you need is on that website, whc.plus.
I mean, you can go on your phone right now, just Google whc plus. That's all.
Straight website, too, whc.plus.
whc.plus, and it'll go straight to the website, and that's all already there.
And you should be getting a text message. Remember that text that you just signed up for about 8 minutes ago? You should be getting one right now. Oh, I just got it. Oh, it'll be coming. There's a lot of people that go to our church, fortunately, so it takes like another millisecond to get to everybody. There you go. See, it says click the link to see all the groups that are meeting tonight.
And this is something we're doing every single Sunday night.
Every Sunday night.
So we look forward to seeing you tonight, and the next Sunday night, and the next Sunday night.
And it's not just for us. Listen, the way you invite people isn't, hey, do you want to come to my church event? So, hey, we're going to the shooting range in Lancaster tonight. Chad mentioned that. I use my new pistol grip shotgun. I mean, sorry. Everyone's
well, talking. I want to go shopping.
Shopping. A shopping group of the
I want to go shopping.
So it's super easy to invite people. I mean, this is how we grow. This is how we connect with Columbus, our community. It could be outreaches. Anything you submit it to the website. How sweet is that?
Awesome.
And you're not submitting it for approvals and all that kind of stuff. We're done with that. We're done with that. You're grown-up people. Now, if we see you on the website and you're inviting somebody...
Hooters!
To Hooters.
No.
Yeah, we're probably going to fix you. That's probably not going to get there. Okay? So, but, you know, just if you and another couple want to go to dinner somewhere and you just feel like meeting somebody else at the church, put it on the website. You can go through there and say, hey, I like that restaurant too. Click on there and sign up to go.
That's right. Woo! So who's excited about WHC Plus? Real quick, let's go through the places really quickly again. So we're going to be at Scioto Mile.
Dave and Buster's
at Polaris.
At Polaris. Eastland Lanes.
And Chuck E. Cheese. So those are the four
Yep, the four groups tonight.
Right. Where are we going? Just tell me where we're going. Quit writing. Where are we going? Okay, who knows how to tell us how to do that?
So sign up in the foyer. What we're going to do is we're going to have tables just so we can get an idea of how many people are going to show up after service right in the foyers. If you feel like you're going to go to Eastland Lanes, just write down under Eastland, Holiday Lights, Dave and Buster's, and Chuck E. Cheese. Just let us know in the foyer so we can get an idea of the counts. Right? Oh, Chad, here we go.
Wait a minute. Stop. Can't we sign up right there on our phone?
No, sir.
No.
On your phone, you use that to tell us if you're going to do an event.
So we can post it on the website and on social media. So
we only
sign up today so we kind of have an idea.
Correct.
To tell Chuck E. Cheese, hey, you can expect 372 people.
Yes. We're not going to
Everybody's going to do something tonight. You're going to go make some friends tonight.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Yeah, we're going to go make some friends over there, Chuck E. Cheese. And I don't think Rod is going to go over there. What do you think? You think Rod's going to show up at Chuck E. Cheese? Nah. You think Rod's going to show up at the bowling alley? Nah. You think Rod and Miss Joni and Ashton, you think they're going to show up over there at the gun range? Nah. Mm-mm. Like, why doesn't Rod just tell the truth? Like, tell the truth, okay? You probably can't afford to keep the building open on Sunday night. It's not because you want to reach out to the community and that you're giving up your Sunday night service. It's probably just not paying for itself anymore. So stop conning people. stop conning people, because anybody that has a big ministry like the one Rod Parsley had, and it's really not a ministry, it's just a business, and the fact that he couldn't talk for almost 9 months, and then he makes his living talking, because he makes his living scamming people. So he hasn't been able to talk all these months, and I'm sure that they were losing money. He was on all these television networks, and he couldn't make new programs because he couldn't talk. So if he could talk and he was healed, he would be out. He would be preaching over there on Sunday nights, because he has a huge ego. Like, he loves himself, and he can't get enough of himself. So there would be no way that he would be closing down Sunday night unless they were having some financial difficulties. That's the real truth. Which there's probably some other things going on over there, which I don't know about 100%, but I can just assume there's some other things going on over there that God said. Now, didn't God say this? Now, because God is merciful. We know that. God is merciful. God also likes to protect you, because he's a father, so he also likes to protect you. But God is also a God of judgment. He's also, like, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, he destroyed the earth with a flood. Remember that? Quite a few things God has done and still does is he judges. And and there is hell. Yes, there is hell. So, obviously, God, in his mercy, has given Rod Parsley all this time to come clean and to repent. And God said that your sin will find you out. He also said that everything that you do in secret will be revealed openly. God said that. Yeah, it's in the Bible. So Rod Parsley is in for a very rude awakening. It's not going to be pretty when it all comes out. And it will all come out, all of it, all of it, because it all started back when he lost his voice. That was the beginning. That was the beginning. And right then, any of us that have had any kind of an illness know that the normal Christian, when you have some kind of an illness and God has your attention, that you ask God, God, what happened? What did I do? Or where did I go wrong? Or where did I miss it? And what does the normal Christian do? The normal Christian repents and starts repenting and humbling themselves. Not Rod Parsley. No. I didn't hear one word from him about repenting, about his actions toward the body of Christ over the many years that he's been hoodwinking and scamming people. I heard not one word of repentance. I heard defiance. I heard arrogance. I heard pride. I never heard an I'm sorry. I still hear, and I'm going to play a few more clips from Sunday. I still hear him scamming people with this Jubilee foolishness that we're not going to have another Jubilee like this for 500 years. I don't need your Jubilee. I have Jubilee every day. You know why I have Jubilee every day? Because Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord, was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he said that he came to give me life and life more abundantly. That's why I have Jubilee every day. I don't need your year of Jubilee, Rod Parsley. And I don't need you to talk about a sustainment offering either. So right back to scamming. Here's Rod from Sunday.
If y'all just do this, if a third of you do this, here's what I know is going to happen. If a third of you do this, if a third of you do it, this church will double in 12 months.
Yes, sir.
It will double in 12 months. Now, we're not doing it so that we have more numbers. We're doing it because those are going to be people that you're connected to that end up giving their lives to Jesus.
Salvation.
Huh?
Souls.
Souls. Absolutely. So we're just kind of seeding these people tonight to show you how it would work. But let's say that you have some friends, like I know the Fontanas and Jen and the Bass. That's what I'm looking for. The Basses. I know that they're already friends. Well, let's say they're going to go to Chuck E. Cheese's on Sunday.
Yeah, it's all about souls, you know, all about souls. Yeah, Rod, what I want to know, I have a question. And if anyone's over there in Columbus, Ohio, you might want, if you can, pop over there to World Harvest and ask Rod this question. Rod, I heard you say last week that you care about souls, but what about when you tell people that if they sow a seed, like a $100 seed, or they sow a Passover offering seed, or they sow a Day of Atonement seed, how about when you tell those people, Rod, that they can sow this seed and they can write on their check and they can write on their prayer request that it's for the salvation of their family? How about that? Explain that. Could you please explain that to me? So, Rod Parsley, you don't care about souls. You don't even care about your own soul. Here's Rod Parsley now. He's going to talk about, this is how he gets the crowd worked up over there.
This is a Jubilee year that began in the fall and will continue until the fall of 2016. This Jubilee year has not occurred for over 500 years. Where you are right now, you're pretty special that God saved this all for you. I don't have time to go into all that, get either of the two books I released this year on the subject. While I was unable to speak at all, I wrote three books, and one of them isn't out yet. It'll come out at Easter. It's called Gone. One Man, One Tomb, One Sunday. So you'll enjoy that one. But this Jubilee will not occur again for 50 years. So, but in total, 550 years. And God put you here right now. So don't be acting like God's not going to do anything for you. He specifically planned for every Eckfeld child to be healed. For Zoe Allfrey to be healed. God planned. God planned it. God planned it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For my friend Jared Deal to be healed. For Francis Jolly to be healed. For Paula Canfield to be healed. For Elder Brunson to be healed. God specifically did that. Let me give you very quickly a verse of scripture that I already gave you this week, if you're attached to our prayer directive. Hit it again. That's the way you've been living. A blessing here, a touch there, a deliverance then. Here's the way he's about to do you. Now hit the sustain pedal. I dare you to jump straight up on your feet and shout as loud as you can. He is my son.
You know who he reminds me of? Jim Jones. Remember Jim Jones? For some of you that don't know who Jim Jones was, some maniac from the 1970s that he had a so-called church out in, I think it was San Francisco, People's Temple. And you can, now this guy is really creepy and really spooky, I can't look at him too long, but there are some videos of him up on YouTube and some audio. I actually did have one of the survivors of the Jonestown Massacre on my program about a year or so ago. That interview is in the archives. But Jim Jones used to do the same thing. You notice Rod Parsley's voice inflection, the way he uses his voice to manipulate the crowd. And then he gets them exactly where he wants them, and then he's instructing the musician. And then all of a sudden, like, was there any reason for those people to stand up and start screaming and going crazy? I didn't hear anything that should make anybody get that excited, except that he is a master manipulator. And I've got an audio here, and you can hear this little bit of this Jim Jones, which was a very, very wicked person, also a very manipulative speaker who wound up taking over 900 people to a place called Jonestown in Guyana, and these people wound up drinking Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. He had them all kill themselves for him.
My, do you need to ask why they do that to me? They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They shall revile you. They shall say all manner of things falsely against you. They shall do unto them everything that they wish to do, and even kill you, thinking they do God a service. And if you're not getting persecution, you're not living godly. So I have my credentials. What about you? If you're not getting persecution, you ought to ask why. Because when you live for truth, you'll be persecuted. And if you're not getting persecuted, you're not living the just life. You're not in the body of Christ, the body of this revolution. Be sure to teach people how to live, to get their head out of the sand or out of the sky. He said, don't pray to go to heaven. And even Paul said, don't look up to go to heaven. He said, the righteous faith saith on this wise, the word, heaven, God, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Don't say who will go up to heaven and bring him down, or who shall go into the deep and bring him up from the grave. But what saith it? The word is within thee. Heaven is on earth. That's the only heaven you'll find. God is here. That's the only God you'll know. All of you are gods. He said, I'm no different than you. Everybody's a god. So Jesus is God, I am God, you are God. I will, but all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot bring me down until the time has come. Listen, all ye scoffers and poisoners, we're feeling good in the house of Jones today.
One caused or tried to harm this church, I would kill the president or stake my life upon this church or to protect the pastor.
Violent revolutionary, and I killed 3 children.
Your name?
Corrine Jackson. I would kill any government official that would stand in the way of our church progress.
Your name?
I'm not.
Now, did they sound similar to you? One of the tactics that Jim Jones used there was this the extreme loyalty to the pastor. Where you couldn't, did you hear the person in the end say, "If anybody tries to hurt my pastor, I'll kill them." And we see this kind of behavior today in many churches where they will, you can't say anything. You can't. If you say something, and I even have people commenting sometime about why are you mentioning names? Why am I mentioning names? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with people? They have an extreme persecution complex because they say they're being persecuted. Now, since when is because somebody's saying something about you, especially if it's true? Okay, if they're lying about you and they're slandering you, that's one thing. But if they're actually playing audio clips of you saying things, that is not persecution. But Jim Jones, he had a real persecution complex, and that's one of the things that he used to get people to manipulate his congregation and to get them to be extremely loyal to him, where they would actually drink cyanide-laced Kool-Aid and kill themselves and their children, their babies. Husbands and wives huddled together, laying on the ground after they drank the Kool-Aid. And we have a lot of that today. We have these Kool-Aid drinkers that refuse to open their Bible. They refuse to see the truth. They follow these people blindly. And just like Rye Parsley, he knew he had those people in the palm of his hand on Sunday. And he said something absolutely ridiculous. And they jumped up in the air and started screaming like a bunch of robots. Yeah. All he has to do is say a word or snap his fingers or whatever, and already they're jumping and they're doing the pony dance, and the musicians start. If you watch it, you'll see they're just like a bunch of hypnotized robots, most of the people there, just following his every whim, and he's enjoying it. You know, he's enjoying it. He's telling them, this is, oh, Jubilee, you are special. And this is the year God's going to give you. Yeah, I know how God gives you things. You work. That's how he gives you things. And then maybe, yeah, occasionally somebody might bless you out of the blue. That might happen. I do believe that God does perform miracles. But he doesn't rain money down from the sky. He doesn't take money out of your bank account and put it into somebody else's bank account. He doesn't have debt cancellation where you don't have to pay back your creditors. It's just ludicrous, the whole thing. So if you follow some of these cult leaders, you'll see that eventually these people, they turn into these kind of cult leaders. Yeah, exactly. They turn into these kind of cult leaders where they don't have any concern for the people there. It's all about them. It's all about maintaining their lifestyle. And you could see that with Jim Jones. He demanded respect. He demanded that people call him Father, which, no, don't call your pastor Father. If you can't call your pastor by his first name, something's wrong there. There's something wrong if you can't call him, like if his name is Joe and you can't call him Joe, there's something wrong. So that's Jim Jones. But you see, okay, did you hear that one comment that Jim Jones made? Now, where have you heard that before? I've heard it before. I heard it on TBN. I heard Kenneth Copeland say it. I heard Paul Crouch say it. I'm a god, Jim Jones said it. We're all gods. Yeah, I've heard them say that. I heard them say that. Here's a clip, a few of them talking about the born-again Jesus, that Jesus had to be Jesus now, Jesus himself. Now, personally, me, I don't want a Jesus that's like me. No, I don't want a Jesus that's just like me. No, I don't want that kind of a Jesus. And for Jesus to have to be born again, and for Jesus to have to be 100% man, like they like to say, he would have had to lay down his divinity. He would have had to have the same temptations that men and women have, which he did not have. But they want to bring Jesus down to their level. They want Jesus to be just like them. But he is not just like us. He never was just like us. The book of Philippians says, I think it's Philippians 2, that says he came in the form of a man, the fashion of a man. He looked like a man. He dressed like a man. But he was still God. He never laid down his divinity. Never. He was never just like us.
Do you know something? The minute that blood sacrifice Christ was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. That was sealed. I mean, it happened when he was in hell. Oh, they were having the biggest party that had ever been had. They had my Jesus in the floor, and they were standing on his back, jumping up and down and laughing, and he had become sin. Don't you think that God was pacing, wanting to put a stop to what was going on? All the hosts of hell were up on him. Up on him. Up on him. The angels are in agony. All the creation is groaning. All the hosts of hell was upon him. Up on him. They got on him. They got him down in the floor and got on him. And they were laughing and mocking. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You trusted God, and look where you ended up. You thought he'd save you and get you off that cross. He didn't. Ha, ha, ha. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Here comes the sun. Sunday morning. God gets himself together.
That's Joyce Meyer.
Oh, justice has been met. Somehow the thing's been taken care of. And oh, God gets his voice together, and he hollers out three words, and they go roaring through the universe and entering the gates of hell. He said, "It is enough." It is enough.
Satan was seated on his throne with a sickening grin on his face, his lip twisted in grotesque triumph, and all the imps of hell were dancing a jig. And the word came, "We got him now! We've defeated the plan of God!" And the devil was sitting there saying, "I told you, if you'd follow me, I'd lead you to victory. We got him now!" And they wrapped their grimy hands and the chains of hell itself around Jesus, and they consigned him to one of the cells in the Hades section of the underworld. And then Satan and his demon host went on a three-day drunk. They thought they had it. They had defeated and thwarted the plan of Almighty God. And Jesus sat there, as it were, immobile, not saying a word, not doing anything, except serving our sentence.
How did Jesus went on the cross, say, "My God"?
Kenneth Hagin.
Because God was not his father anymore. He took upon himself the nature of Satan. Why did he need to be begotten or born? Because he became like we were, separated from God. Because he tasted spiritual death for every man.
No, Hagin.
And his spirit, an inner man, went to hell in my place. Can't you see that? Physical death wouldn't remove your sins. He's tasted death for every man. He's talking about tasting spiritual death. Jesus is the first person that was ever born again. Why did his spirit need to be born again? Because it was estranged from God.
What?
There is a man in the Godhead, born again. He got born again in the pit of hell. He was made to be sin for us who knew he knew no sin.
But Jesus got in there. He got in there. He was made sin with your sin. He was cursed with your curse. He suffered the price for Adam's failure to walk in the blessing. And now he is in the pit of hell. And now he is suffering the suffering. Ah, ha, ha.
Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is in the middle of that pit. He's suffering the very base end punishment. He is suffering all that there is to suffer. There is no suffering left apart from him.
His emaciated, poured out little wormy spirit is down in the bottom of that thing, and the devil thinks he's got him destroyed. But all of a sudden, God started talking. And when God starts talking, can't nobody get away from it. I mean, hell itself ain't far enough. It ain't deep enough, and it ain't wide enough to keep the word of God from coming in there.
Jesus had to go through that same spiritual death in order to pay the price. Now, it wasn't the physical death on the cross that paid the price for sin, because if it had been, any prophet of God that had died for the last couple of thousand years before that could have paid that price. It wasn't physical death. Anybody could do that.
He was the first one to ever be born again. I see it. A born again man defeated all of hell. Woo! My God! I'm no less born again than he was. Whoa! I'm born after him.
So he stepped below him and made himself obedient unto death. We talked about that in our service. He went into hell. There he paid the price. God spoke the word of resurrection, and he came up out of there. His spirit was reborn, and a reborn man ripped hell apart, took the keys of death, took the keys of hell, and came out of there and said, I am he that was once dead, but I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys.
The Spirit of God spoke to me. And he said, son, realize this. Now follow me in this. Don't let your tradition trip you up. He said, think this way. A twice born man whipped Satan in his own domain. And I threw my Bible like that. I said, what? He said a born-again man defeated Satan. The firstborn of many brethren defeated him. He said, you are the very image and the very copy of that one. I said, goodness gracious sakes alive. And it just, I began to see what had gone on in there. And I said, well, now you don't mean, you couldn't dare mean that I could have done the same thing. He said, oh, yeah, if you'd known that, had the knowledge of the Word of God that he did, you could have done the same thing. Because you're a reborn man, too.
And Jesus volunteered to go to hell. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody ever got out of there. The only thing he had to go by was the promise of God that I'm reading you right now. He didn't have some special revelation from heaven between he and God the Father. No, the Bible said he emptied himself when he came. And he saw himself in the Word and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah.
He found himself in the Word.
Really? He was the Word. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
When Jesus came, he destroyed the works of the devil with the power of the Holy Ghost. He destroyed the devil in the underworld with his Adamic office. Remember, when Jesus went to the underworld, the Holy Ghost wasn't there. The Father wasn't there. He destroyed him with his Adamic office. The second Adam faced the one who stole the office of the first and destroyed him. Did you hear that? So Jesus Christ destroyed the power of Satan on earth, but destroyed Satan in the underworld, and the Holy Ghost wasn't there. Think about that. That's when his divinity returned.
Okay, folks. There you have it. It came right out of their own mouth. And at the end there, the end of that clip is Paul Crouch Sr. and Benny Hinn. And then Benny's saying that what happened when Jesus went to hell. And then Paul Crouch Sr. says, yes, and that's when his divinity returned. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Anyway, I'm going to finish this program today because I did promise to talk about R.A. Vernon, which I won't have time to discuss it, but I'm going to play the clip for you quickly before we close, clip about telling all his congregation to say F you. So here you go.
Since we have been forgiven, what should be our corresponding action? I'm glad you asked. We should forgive and extend grace to everybody else. No wonder Matthew says, and when you start praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who's in heaven forgive your transgressions. As a Christian, you've got to forgive. Now that said, and please don't get offended, the new F word in the word church is forgive. I'm going to say it again. The new F word in this church is forgive. Now that said, do me a favor, touch your neighbor and say F you. God, I wished I had. God, I wished I had 25 people that say I forgive you for whatever you said about me. Not just your neighbor. Look down your whole row saying F y'all too. Go ahead and tell them. You know what, y'all looking at me crazy. Would you do me a favor? Take your phone out. Text all your exes and say, I'm at church. F you. Forgive you for lying on me and talking about me. Pastor, my mama don't like you. Well, F your mama. My family don't like you. F your family too. You know what? Jump on your feet. Snap your finger. Say, F everybody in here. God, I wish I had 5 people that would jump on your feet and high five 6 people. Say, F you, go ahead, tell them. F you, go ahead. High five somebody else. Say, F you. Yup, F you. Yup, F you. F all y'all. F you. God, I wish I had somebody that would have a little church with me and thank God that he forgave you for all your sins and now you can forgive everybody else.
You know, God help us. God help us. Please. Anyway, I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Thank you so much, everybody. And I love you all. Don't forget to tune in to our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, and my website, propheticnews.com. But the most important thing today is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. No matter what these people do, you personally are going to have to answer to God for your life when you stand before him. And you can have a promise of eternal life, a promise of a brand new life. Jesus Christ is a Savior, and he can save you today. Ask him to come into your life. Read the 3rd chapter of John, where Jesus said it himself, that ye must be born again. Read the book of Romans, where he said that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins today. Ask him to forgive you and to come into your life and to be your Lord and your Savior. And read your Bible. Start reading your Bible and fellowshipping with like-minded believers. God bless you all. Have a great day. Enjoy the football games. And we'll be talking soon. Amen. Bye, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, record. Here we go. I'm going to a city. I'll sit on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city. And it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.